Bitcoin enables perhaps the most powerful mode of ownership ever devised. It would be akin to gold inside a safe that can't be penetrated with all of the energy of the universe, and with a password that you know, but which could not be guessed over the entire lifetime of the universe. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about it. Yep, that. Something like that. I'm leaving it in there. I'm not even going to edit this. I'm the guy who's read more about than anybody else you know. And this show is brought to you by Swan Bitcoin, the place to buy Bitcoin and to have an entire financial suite for retirement, your business account, you name it. Check it out at swan.com/guy. And of course, CoinKite, the makers of so many great hardware devices to both secure and make your Bitcoin more fun. I gotta shill the block clock because it's awesome to have your little desk with Moscow time and the block height and a bunch of other cool things. Check out their store and with the link in the show notes, and don't forget my discount code Bitcoin Audible. So today in Plippity2 reading material, we have Alan Farrington. Who'd have thunk? And this is a short one, but it's a really good one, and I love it just because this is an open letter to the prospective buyers of the ETF. And I love, he starts this off kind of towards the beginning with an analogy that I really liked. But basically the thesis of this piece, despite the elaboration, is, simply put, that buying an ETF of Bitcoin is antithetical to the very thesis of why Bitcoin is valuable. And he does a wonderful job, as always. And you know what? We're not going to waste any more time. We are just going to jump right into this and then get a guy's take afterward. This was posted on LinkedIn, and I will share the link, obviously, so you can go check it out or share it on LinkedIn or Twitter, whatever it is you want. But I encourage you to get this out there to the people who, both his article and my show, for those who are more likely to just listen to it, to anybody who is thinking about buying a Bitcoin ETF, and to get them to ask themselves, or you could ask them, why exactly? What is the value that you suppose Bitcoin has? And what do you think you're buying with an ETF? Because if the value proposition of Bitcoin is understood, it would seem self-contradictory to then only hold it as an IOU. And to eloquently express this idea, we will now hit today's article. And it's titled, An Open Letter to Prospective Buyers of a Bitcoin ETF. Written by Alan Farrington. First of all, congratulations that you are finally considering what has to date very probably been the single greatest investment of all time. Everybody has to start somewhere. Nobody grasps it immediately, and exposure to the asset is arguably a psychological prerequisite to fully appreciating its merits beyond the financial. That said, I would like to take some time making the case that you should reconsider the method by which you hold Bitcoin. Wrapping such an asset in an ETF is rather like marveling at the internal combustion engine so much that you parade one around in your horse and carriage. There are worse things you could do, like not own one at all, but ultimately this betrays a misunderstanding of what this technology is, does, is for, and perhaps most enticingly, what it portends. Below, I will outline four distinct and by no means exhaustive reasons for believing this. 1. ETFs are subscription IOUs. Bitcoin is one of the only financial assets in history that you can own directly rather than in the form of a certificate from an issuer. Only gold is remotely comparable, and Bitcoin is dramatically superior across multiple relevant criteria, all of which stem from it being digital. In fact, Bitcoin enables perhaps the most powerful mode of ownership ever devised. It would be akin to gold inside a safe that can't be penetrated with all the energy of the universe, and with a password that you know, but which could not be guessed over the entire lifetime of the universe. Why does this matter? Well, for a start, you are paying fees. You are putting this digital marvel back in an analog box and letting the box keeper charge you for the privilege. You might think this doesn't matter because the fees are low, but how long is your intended holding period? If it's less than 10 or 20 years, I would humbly suggest you don't really understand what's going on here. If it's more, suddenly those fees aren't so low anymore. It matters for subtler reasons, also in that you have no control over, quote, your asset. It has already been established that in-kind redemptions will not be allowed, so even, quote, IOU is pushing it, meaning you will never truly own this Bitcoin. Additionally, we have already seen somewhat baffling decisions from Vanguard and Merrill Lynch to disallow access to the best-performing financial asset in history, and seemingly only letting users sell GBTC but not buy, which seems deeply suspicious. And by the way, you should be using Fidelity Investments in the first place. They have understood Bitcoin for a long time and continue to best support its growth. While likely a temporary blip that will be backtracked on and even mocked in years to come, this further underlines that you do not own the asset. The custodian does. You merely have an IOU. And by the way, if you think that you can only have IOUs for whatever tax or regulatory reason, I strongly recommend you speak to OnRamp, as this probably isn't actually the case, and they can help you figure it all out. This could become highly relevant in a world in which the state attempts to, quote, crack down on Bitcoin. People who actually own Bitcoin will chuckle at all of this, as exactly this kind of expected incompetence is what motivated their investment of capital in the asset and investment of time in the technical understanding to use it properly. But people who own irredeemable IOUs as a service will be wiped out. You might think that this is overly dystopian, but if it is so completely unrealistic, why are you even seeking financial exposure to Bitcoin? What is the thesis in which one of these happens but not the other? This is a theme to which we will return. 2. No multisig for credit. If you've already put the engine in a carriage, you are foregoing putting it in an automobile. Which is to say, for example, if you pay fees to put Bitcoin in an analog wrapper, you can't then utilize its native programmability to continue to engage in credit markets. Collateralized lending against securities is hardly new, but Bitcoin enables it with far greater flexibility, at far greater scale, and to a far wider market than has ever before existed. This practice was championed by Unchained and is likely to explode to an entirely new scale when DeBiFi comes to market. As DeBiFi CEO Max Keiden has eloquently put it, Bitcoin is super collateral. In short, that Bitcoin trades 24/7, always has a fair price in a liquid market, and can be escrowed in a multi-signature setup, makes it materially superior collateral for fiat credit than any other high-value asset. But this relies on the borrowers having access to real Bitcoin. Bitcoin is super collateral. ETFs are not. 3. No yield from Lightning. There may be all kinds of comical ways of trying to power horses with engines, but if you don't want an ugly mishap, you are best designing a car instead. Which is to say, for example, that there are all kinds of fiat shenanigans a custodian could get up to with Bitcoin that you can't know for sure is even there. Has it been rehypothecated? Is it currently being shorted somewhere else in the market with no on-chain footprint or audit trail? Or on the other hand, if you have decided to hold it yourself, could you generate a yield in a digitally and programmatically native manner by providing routing liquidity to the Lightning Network? As theorized by Nick Bhatia, CFA and CMT, at the time value of BTC and the Lightning Network reference rate, the link to the article and the audio version will be available in the show notes, and brought to fruition in part by Amboss Technologies. The Lightning Network reference rate is a fundamentally new financial phenomenon. Leasing of dormant capital for yield without giving up custody, such that there is zero economic counterparty risk. Note, that is given competent management. There are still other varieties of risk, and it is possible to achieve a negative return by underestimating technical risk, by ineffective coordination with operational counterparties, or just by doing all of this poorly. Even without the direct technical expertise and social and economic connections, you can utilize tools from the likes of Voltage, Lightning Labs, Blockstream, Async, Block, Breeze, Torque, and many more to automate parts of this process while retaining control of your asset. Once again, these practices rely on cryptographic manipulation of real Bitcoin. You can absolutely revert to point one and put Bitcoin in cold storage for free rather than in a relatively riskier hot wallet to try to monetize it. But if you buy an ETF, you have neither of these options. You can't put an ETF in a Lightning channel. 4. The investment thesis is self-contradictory. Now, your response to all of the above might well be something along the lines of, I don't want any of this, I just want exposure to the price, thank you very much. This instinct is understandable at first, but under a more thorough analysis, I believe it makes no sense. How little sense it makes will be forced on you over a longer and longer period of time, as you more and more realize what you want is real Bitcoin, which is exactly the time frame over which a thesis for Bitcoin ought to play out in the first place. Bitcoin is sound, censorship-resistant, peer-to-peer programmable money. Its value proposition is precisely that fiat money is none of these things. Fiat has unbounded and profoundly unfair issuance. It can be censored at a whim. It is institution to institution. And while it has developed a digital overlay, its, quote, digitization is across a dimension that is completely irrelevant to the function of money, given tokens of stored value are just about the only thing for which the ability to costlessly replicate is a bug rather than a feature. Bitcoin is a digital manifestation of unforgeable costliness. Reference to shelling out at the Nakamoto Institute. Link and audio version will be available in the show notes. And therefore, is the only real digital money around. As if fiat money was bad enough on these counts, ETFs are worse still, because there isn't even a pretense that they are money. If your overall thesis on Bitcoin, which I assume is something along the lines of number go up, is correct, then one day you are going to want to use it to pay for something, never mind the more exotic options listed above. But nobody is going to accept your IOU because it isn't real Bitcoin. It's not sound, it's not censorship resistant, it's not peer-to-peer, and it's not programmable. It's an IOU, and a bad one. It's analog credit. But the entire thesis for Bitcoin is that an exclusively credit-based financial system has been an unmitigated disaster. We are moving back to a system rooted in equity, in tangible value, in real money rather than fiduciary media. Number goes up because this model is superior. Now, maybe you don't believe in any of this, and hence you don't think the number will go up. That's a perfectly reasonable thesis. But then, why are you buying an ETF? The ETF is a bet on a future in which ETFs are unnecessary. There is no world in which ETFs perform well, and there is any point in owning one. The investment thesis is self-contradictory. The mandatory plug here is that if you are interested in learning more about this, perhaps investing in some of the companies making all of the above possible, winky face, I'd be delighted to talk to you and or for you to check out Axiom at axiombtc.capital. But the real punchline is that the very first step has to be to just buy some Bitcoin. Some real Bitcoin, that is. Not an ETF, not an IOU. Sound, censorship-resistant, peer-to-peer, programmable money. Looking to buy some Bitcoin? You can do it on Swan.com. You can do it either on their website or right in the app on iOS and Android. The easiest and best long-term position, in my opinion, is to DCA, is to just start buying automatically every single week, month, whatever you want to set as your time frame. And then when you get a certain threshold, withdraw it to your keys so that you know that you own it. And with Swan, you can do that automatically. Literally all of it. You can have it stack regularly and then just send it to your cold storage and you never have to think about it. You set it up once, literally a matter of minutes, and it will just run until you cut it off. I'm telling you, it is so nice. And for the high net worth individuals who want to smash buy and make a large investment, and you're finally ready to pull the trigger and you don't want to buy an IOU because you realize that putting an internal combustion engine in the back of a carriage, a horse and carriage, is just not really conducive to what the hell it's even used for. You would like to own it yourself. Well, luckily you can smash buy up to $10 million with Swan Bitcoin. And if you want to have your hand held, if you're uncomfortable, you don't know where to start, Swan Private, for the high net worth individuals who literally want to be able to call someone up, message someone, and immediately get someone to talk to whenever you're handling your keys or whenever you're trying to figure out your setup, Swan Private has you. Swan even has a vault service now that's not even just for private Swan Private individuals or high net worth, but for anyone who wants to have a savings account where they use their keys, but if they lose one, they can still use Swan to help recover their funds. It's a great way for the uninitiated and those who are kind of uncomfortable about doing this themselves to get that extra peace of mind. Not only the incredible amount of resources and knowledge that you'll just find just by checking out swan.com. Go to my link, swan.com/guy. The link will be right there in the show notes and check them out. You know, this is about as clear as it can be said, honestly. It's simple. It's not too long, and it hits all the major points. I mean, aside from the fact that, you know, you could get into a lot more detail, but just the thesis. I mean, I love the analogy is that this is like buying an internal combustion engine and parading it around in a horse and carriage. And sure, if you want to invest in an internal combustion engine because you've noticed that other people are excited about it and its network is growing and there's a lot of new excitement around it and the price is going up, cool. But maybe get a car. Maybe actually use it. Maybe understand why people are interested in it and what it actually is. Because you don't own anything in the ETF. You do not own any real Bitcoin. You cannot redeem them for Bitcoin. All you can do is exit with dollars if they don't have a serious disaster or if they don't rehypothecate somewhere else and collapse in value or if they don't have a huge hack and lose all of the Bitcoin backing the ETF. And consider that you are paying a yearly subscription, a percentage fee on the value that you are holding in it for this risk. For anyone holding a substantial amount, you could get Swan Private and literally just have your own personal, like, Bitcoin guru to help you and have you, like, hold your own keys so that you could just ask if there's ever a problem or you're ever confused as to what's going on. They can tell you exactly what to do. You know what? Pay me. I would love to do it. I do it for a ton of people for free. I'll take a really small fee. I'll take 0.1%. And I'll be in your multi-sig and help you and walk you through it to help you set it up. Dude, this is great. This is a great business plan. I can do this better and I can have it so that you're holding your own keys. Seriously, buying a Bitcoin ETF and having any idea what the value proposition of Bitcoin is seriously contradictory. Like it does not make any sense. I think the only point where it sort of makes sense, or at least there's a limitation, is if you have no other option in the sense that it's like stuck in your retirement and so you can't exit and you don't have a clear way to get Bitcoin in the retirement account. But I am pretty damn sure there are numerous ways to get various retirement accounts. I mean, Swan has it. River. Does River have one? I don't know. I know that, you know, Jeff Vandrews has a setup where you can get it allocated to Bitcoin, and you can actually hold your own keys so that you actually make the entity that you're investing in, and then you hold the Bitcoin. There are ways, but I get if it's complicated from a legal standpoint or from a structural standpoint on the, like, how do I set up the contract or the entity or whatever the hell, and it's stuck in some sort of retirement thing, and now you can access an ETF. That is at least something. But if you are just trying to buy Bitcoin, trying to be exposed to Bitcoin, and especially if you're investing any significant amount of funds, dude, get a freaking hardware wallet and just buy it. It is simply not that hard, and you will have no storage costs. And, you know, even if you want to, do the Lightning thing, which is not the easiest thing in the world, you know, that takes some technical understanding in order to get it, in order to set up your channels. But a lot of these tools, if you're actually interested in going down that route, he mentions a bunch of them that basically have tools to get you to, so that you can do this really easily. Voltage is a great one for setting up nodes quickly. Lightning Labs, Blockstream has Blockstream Green, and Breeze now, which is more geared toward customers. But what's funny is that it's actually going to be a way, like, they have means now that you can plug into LSPs specifically as a node, like not having to use some sort of a service or a mobile wallet and be only a customer from a user app perspective, but that you can actually have a node and still actually have the communication with an LSP so that they can help you get liquidity. And then if you have Bitcoin in savings that you want to make a yield on, well, if you have channels with Breeze and Voltage and Async and Blockstream or whatever, if you open up channels with them and then you sell the other on the liquidity ads or Amboss, like there's a bunch of these services now, like the Lightning Pool, where you can literally get paid an upfront fee and a percentage, plus make, you know, basic fees in routing going through those channels. You can make a return on Bitcoin denominated in Bitcoin. And maybe that is a significant undertaking for a lot of people, and I completely understand that. Like, I don't even do that right now. That's not entirely true. I have a node with a bunch of channels and stuff, but I don't sell on the liquidity pools and Amboss, which honestly, I probably should. I've had a node up for quite some time now. But regardless, I get why that's too much for a lot of people. But think about it. That's not so that you can have no fees. That's so that you can get paid fees for holding your Bitcoin. Instead of paying a 2% fee to Bitwise or something, you could maybe earn 0.2% on your holdings. But you can't do that with a Bitcoin IOU. Bitcoin IOUs don't work on the Lightning Network. And I will have the link, I said in the read that I'll have the link to the Lightning Network reference rate piece by Nick Bhatia. But it's a really good piece, and I think it's a really great way to think about the financial markets as Bitcoin kind of takes over as programmable money, and where this is really going to shine in the creation of programmable service relationships without custody. Like, for anybody who is actually new and maybe is listening to this and purely because they saw the article on LinkedIn or whatever and ended up back here, if you're actually new and thinking about this, I want you to understand the power of a decentralized global digital programmable money, that the Lightning Network is a global decentralized frictionless payment network without custody, that financial payment like DLC and smart contract, betting and futures markets, stable sats, these things can be built without custody. This is one of the breakthrough promises of the Bitcoin system being adopted as the global financial system that has no borders and has no restrictions and is completely censorship resistant. This is why it's revolutionary. Owning an IOU from someone who is your custodian, whom supposedly has Bitcoin that you cannot even verify on your behalf, and that they can't even legally give you if you wish to redeem it, is kind of a ridiculous proposition, isn't it? If you understand that that's the value, that we can have a whole financial system that's non-custodial, and that you could start by actually owning a digital asset that no one else could control and nobody else could take from you, that was in an invisible safe that you cannot penetrate into with all the energy of the universe, and with a password that only you know and could not be guessed over the entire lifetime of the universe, that's something that you can have for free for the low, low cost of just understanding how to write down a seed phrase and keep it safe. That a person would hand that incredible power over to somebody else, not really have any assurance that they actually even have those Bitcoin, and then for them to give them like a check that says, this is worth this many Bitcoin, but you can't get this much Bitcoin from it. And then paying a fee every single year for the privilege of holding the piece of paper that can't be redeemed for Bitcoin. Like, come on, man. But anyway, I don't want to hate too much for anybody who has actually, you know, just bought some ETF and happened to stumble upon this. But honestly, you should do some digging. You should start learning about this. I've got the basics series. You know what? I'll have that in the show notes too, just because I think the first basics episode is a really good one on what the hell even is Bitcoin, because I think that's probably a perspective that the overwhelming majority of people buying the ETF just do not have a clue. And it's extremely common for those getting into Bitcoin that they think of it as a toy on the internet. They like the framing, the mental framing and the picture of what and where it lies in kind of both the internet stack and the financial stack is just completely wrong. And I've gotten really great feedback on that episode in kind of painting that picture for people who have been outside or come from the traditional finance area to kind of understand what the heck Bitcoin is. And it's also critical. I also highly, highly recommend Shelling Out by Nick Szabo, which Alan Farrington mentioned specifically in this article and linked to the Nakamoto Institute, which is a collection of works on all sorts of different things about Bitcoin. We've done audio for the for I don't even know how many of them on this show. In fact, I should probably dig back into it. There's still a bunch of great stuff that I haven't even covered yet. But that is such a great piece on the concepts behind money and the history of monetary goods, and kind of, you know, to kind of get a thesis on the rise and fall of them. And I've got the entire thing in audio if you don't have time to sit down and read it. And that is just, it's a phenomenal work, and it is a prerequisite probably to understanding, Farrington mentioned in this piece, is unforgeable costliness is such a great prerequisite concept to understand why Bitcoin as digital money is so valuable and such a breakthrough in a couple of different areas, but also why it does actually manifest the properties of physical money in the digital space. Like, what is that explicit item? What is that thing that granted monetary premium to all of these previous monetary goods? And then what is it that was lost when those goods lost the monetary premium? What is it that killed them? What is that one characteristic that differentiated through so much of monetary history? What was good or bad money? And the concept of unforgeable costliness is so key to that. It's such an incredible way to frame that characteristic, that element of money. So I cannot recommend that one enough for anybody new to the ETF and, you know, happened to stumble upon this, but obviously any Bitcoiners who haven't listened or read that piece yet, or haven't read it or listened to it in a long time, it is never a bad thing to refresh that one. All right. So I think we will actually close this one out here. This one was good, succinct, and I think it laid out its argument really well. And we have got some great pieces by Alan Farrington, by the way. Alan Farrington, and Sasha Myers both wrote Bitcoin is Venice together, which is a phenomenal book, of which I did the audiobook. Very proud to have done that one. And then also Axiom BTC, their Bitcoin-focused financial firm, I guess. They have released, I think it's three incredible pieces that we have done. I did audio for all three on the show. So it's Capital in the 21st Century, Orange is the New Green, and Banks Without Bankers. These are all great kind of fundamental pieces on understanding a lot of the concepts and also understanding capital markets in Bitcoin moving forward, capital in the 21st century in particular, so that you can understand the actual investment thesis of Bitcoin. Really, really solid piece. So highly recommend following Alan Farrington and digging in those pieces as well. Crap, I guess I will put those in the show notes. I'm gonna have a long list of links for this one. All right. So thank you guys for listening. I will have all of those links for you. And obviously, if you were looking to buy Bitcoin, check out swan.com/guide. That is my link also conveniently right in the show notes for you. And then get yourself a cold card hardware wallet. You're not going to get more secure or better to use and more feature rich than the cold card. It's just freaking works. And they have built amazing hardware to secure your Bitcoin for more than a decade. And there is a wonderful discount with code BitcoinAudible, which is the name of this show. Makes it so easy and so conveniently in the show notes. Thank you all so much for listening. Do not forget to subscribe. And if you would like to support the show, you can do it for free just by sharing it out. And if you do it on Noster, I will zap you, sir. So you will actually make sats. You will earn money for sharing this show out. And then another brilliant way that you can do it for free is give a review to this show on your favorite podcasting app or platform like Apple or Google. It is a huge, huge help and bumps us in the metrics. And obviously give a boost on Fountain or share out a clip or something on Fountain. I am loving the Fountain crew. And it's such a fantastic app for those who want to get paid sats to listen or stream sats to your favorite creator. Seriously, Fountain is gold. Or I guess it's digital gold. Meh, meh. All right, I am out of here, guys. Thank you so much. I love you all. I am Guy Swan. And until next time, everybody, take it easy, guys. Freedom is not worth having if it does not include the freedom to make mistakes. Mahatma Gandhi.